Hello everyone and welcome to Science Spinning, the show with an Irish spin on science with me, Sean Duke, here on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Next week is Ireland's National Science Week and there's lots of interesting events taking place all over the country. One of the main aims of Science Week is to encourage more students in secondary school to take science subjects and to think about a career in science. And now we're going to talk now to an astronaut, Krister Fuglesang. I'll have to check that pronunciation to see if I got it right. I would say one of Europe's most experienced astronauts about his adventures in space, and he's going to be talking next week on Thursday the 17th November at 6:30, also in Belvedere College in the O'Reilly Theatre there. Hi Krister, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks a lot.
Okay, your second name, how do you pronounce it? Sorry.
Well, I say Fuglesang when I speak Fuglesang. English. In Swedish I would say Fuglesang.
Okay. So obviously you're coming to Dublin next week, and the whole theme of the week, National Science Week, here is to try and encourage people to consider a career in science. You've got one of the most interesting careers, I think, in science, astronaut. So was this something that you thought about when you were very young? Has it always been an ambition to be an astronaut?
Probably too much to say it was an ambition always, but certainly I was always intrigued by space and also liked to travel. And but it was, I think, when I was doing PhD studies around my age of 25, when I really started to think that if there's ever a chance to go to space, then I'm at least going to try to take it.
Okay, what were you doing your PhD in?
In particle physics. So actually, I was studying the microcosmos, the smallest things rather than the biggest things.
Okay, so I mean, you at that point you could have gone to a different career totally, ended up in the university or wherever.
Yeah, I would probably have done that. I spent a couple of years at CERN, the huge laboratory outside Geneva, and had a lot of fun, and probably the only thing which could gotten me away from that was becoming an astronaut.
Mm-hmm. Now, it says here in a note I have, you joined the European Astronaut Corps in 1992. How did that happen?
Really serendipitous. I was visiting a friend in Stockholm during a conference there while I was living down in Geneva, and then he said that, hey, I found a new job for you. And I said, what? I have really the most fun job I can think of. Well, they're looking for astronauts.
Wow.
And I thought he was joking, but no, sure enough, next day he actually gave me the ad from the newspaper who said that the European Space Agency is looking for up to 10 astronauts.
Okay, and what, it must have been incredibly competitive going through that selection process. How did it work? Say, take us through from when you started to when you actually were accepted onto the program.
Yeah, and it was a two-year process. When I saw that, I called the Swedish Space Board and said, hey, I saw this, I'm interested, and they sent me the application papers. It was a lot, I almost backed out when I saw that. Applied in September 1990. And then Sweden did some selection out of 300, which kind of really applied in Sweden. We were five who eventually in April 91 got nominated to ESA.
Mm-hmm.
And then ESA started to an even more...
That's the, just to tell people, that's the European Space Agency.
That's right.
Sorry, go ahead.
And we were about 60 people from all of ESA's member states who had been nominated by the national agencies. And we went through medical tests of various kinds and psychological tests and various interviews. And finally, in May 92, almost 2 years after I saw this ad, I was one of six who got selected.
Wow, so fantastic. And what do you think? I know it's you have to be modest, but obviously the people that made it through, they were looking for certain qualities or abilities. What do you think they were looking for?
Well, on the paper, to start with, you're looking for people to have a university or a kind of that degree in engineering or natural science, or if you're a kind of a very test pilot, medical doctor, plus some additional experience on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would say what you'd look for is people who have shown that they're good in what they're doing. Because it doesn't really matter exactly what you've done, but more that you look like you are able to perform well and learn quick. That is something I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get selected as an astronaut, but you can end up doing so many things. I ended up doing spacewalks a lot, but you can also end up having to repair a computer. Who
sure.
knows?
And just, I could talk to you for a long time, but maybe mention the excitement. What did it feel like when you're actually accepted? It must have been a thrill.
Yeah, that was a big thrill. I mean, I didn't work anymore on that day.
yeah, I'm sure.
And was almost a bit unreal.
Yeah.
But then reality sets in, and it takes a long time between you get selected until you fly. If you're lucky, you may fly in, let's say, 3 to 4 years. I was there. I was maybe not among the most lucky. I had to wait for 14 years. So my next real, real thrill was, of course, when the rocket started and I got this ride up to space. Which was
so
fabulous.
When did you go up, finally?
Finally in 2006.
Okay, and that was a shuttle?
That was a shuttle, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when you're on the, you know, the moment when you're, I suppose, when the rocket takes off and you're just waiting to go off that launch pad, the adrenaline must be pumping.
Actually, not so much.
No?
When you reach that moment, you've been, first of all, waiting a long time. You have been training so much for it. You have talked to people. You've been in the rocket in an exercise doing the same thing a couple of weeks before. But then, of course, not even trying to launch. So, and then you board the rocket and get strapped in, and then you just sit and wait there for several hours, two to three hours.
And you don't get more nervous when you're sitting, no?
No.
You're a relaxed kind of guy then, obviously.
But I'm not the only one who would tell you that. I think most, the moment when it was quite different for me, that was when I was egressing the space station for my first spacewalk.
Sure. I was going to ask you about that too, because that must be an amazing experience, because you're actually outside the craft and you know, you're connected by that kind of long, whatever it is, pipe. But is that quite scary, difficult, or what does it feel like?
It's the most into space you can go, so to say. And it's a very special experience. You kind of float outside, and first you feel for holding very hard
yeah,
so not fall off. But of course you don't fall off, because it's weightlessness, and you, after a while, you learn how to just glide along the side of the space station. Mm-hmm. And you see the wonderful view of Earth below you. But when you egress in the beginning, then for sure it was a lot of adrenaline. And I think one of the big differences there is that when you sit in a rocket, you trust that the technology works and people have prepared it properly, and you can't do anything about it anyhow.
Sure.
Whereas when you do spacewalk, you know, then it's up to you. And also, you have thousands of eyes on you. People are watching you. It's a little bit like going on a stage and on a scene.
Okay.
When they premiere.
So the spacewalk is much different. It's more pressurized.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, there must be thoughts going through your head when you just you're there in space and you're looking down on Earth. It must, you know, you must think, wow, this is an amazing experience.
Oh yes. I mean, now most of the time you're very focused and concentrated on the work and mm-hmm. need to be careful, but then there are times when maybe you just have to wait for something else to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take the opportunity, you look down on Earth, and you may try to guess where you are.
Try and see Sweden, maybe.
Yes, that's right. I did see Ireland a couple of times.
Did you? Okay.
And also thinking of kind of just the feeling being there. I thought one of the most interesting times for me was one spacewalk which wasn't scheduled. We hadn't trained for it because we had a problem with solar array.
Okay.
And we had to go out and fix that. And we were working too outside, but everyone was kind of involved in somehow to help find the problem. And also the ground control. So I had this kind of feeling being connected through the spaceship to the ground, that everything was doing, although we were kind of floating up there. That was very interesting.
Yeah, and I'd just like to ask you as well, just to finish up, this whole attempt to go to Mars, because you've been up there, you're an astronaut, it seems like an amazing thing, but I just noticed there that this Mars 500 mission, which it was a preparation for going to Mars, and there's Europeans on it, there's a French and there's Italian, but they were 520 days in isolation, I guess, on Earth, preparing to simulate going to Mars. So that must have been something else. They just came out. But were you watching that closely, or how that was going?
Yes, I'm actually responsible for that.
Oh,
program.
Right, okay. Great.
It's under my division here. So I was over there in Moscow now when they came out, and it's been very interesting to following it fairly closely. They have done a remarkable job, the crew, the guys inside, but also I must say the support outside, because also there is a kind of teamwork.
Yeah.
And most challenging have probably been the communication setup.
Sure, and I suppose that the psychology of this was important, because this was to simulate the 520 days that it would take to get over to Mars and back, so, and in a small space. So there's how many guys? There was five guys, three Russians, one Chinese, two Europeans. They seemed to get on extremely well. So does this mean that, you know, is this a good sign in terms of we can go to Mars?
Yeah, absolutely. From a human psychological point of view, and also from the point of view of putting together an international crew, I think it's a very good sign. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean we have solved all the problems. There's certainly quite a lot of technical problems still to solve, but this showed some very good signs on how we could do it.
Okay, I just have to stop there because we're just running out of time. But thanks for coming on, Krister. And anybody that would like to hear more from Krister Fuglsang, he's speaking in Dublin in Belvedere College next week on Thursday the 17th. That's at 6:30. He's an astronaut. He's lots of experience in space, and now he's involved in the human spaceflight operation in the Netherlands, European Space Agency.